And I was unmarried and pregnant at the time, and I didn't want anything to do with church or the God that I remembered being raised under. And she never relented. And so I gave in, and I attended a church service, and the pastor began to speak about Jesus, who was loving and who was kind and merciful and forgiving and who wanted a relationship with me. And I had not heard that before. And something began to happen in my heart. I've belonged to Christ and have not left church since then. When I was younger, I always had a heart for the poor and for the downtrodden or anyone that really felt invisible or overlooked. It's just something that the Lord had placed in my heart, was this thread of compassion. In 2009, I believe the Lord gave me a vision for Love Lunch Sack Ministry. I remember Him specifically saying, "Show my love." And what He showed me was a mental picture of a brown paper sack lunch, and it had a red heart on the front of it. And so when the Lord said, "Show my love," I knew that He didn't want me to go to the streets and preach or condemn or judge, but just to be loving, because we're all in need of that. We got together in my home with some friends and put together 50 lunches, and we went out to the street. And I prayed and asked the Lord to lead me in the direction that He wanted me to go, and drove around and had cars following me. We didn't know what to do or how to do it. We were just following the Lord. I remember looking off to my left and seeing a pair of legs in a dumpster. And I got out of my car with a brown sack lunch with a red heart on it and said, "Excuse me, how are you?" And a man pulled his body out of the dumpster and began to wipe himself off. And I said, "Can I bless you today with lunch?" And I extended my hand to shake his hand. And he said, "Ma'am, you don't want to touch me." He said, "I'm dirty." And I said, "I'm dirty too." And I put my arms around him and I hugged him. That was the first person that I encountered on the street. And I knew that the Lord had done something for sure in my heart and in my life at that moment, and that He was faithful to lead me right where He wanted me. And after I had encountered a couple of people who were experiencing homelessness, I was just broken, quite honestly. I was very broken. Even to this day, I can remember those emotions and meeting those people and how desperate they are for love. We would do this every Sunday for over 2 years, and that number increased from 50 lunches to 300 lunches a Sunday. And then they began to know us by our logo, which was this brown paper bag with a red heart, and we built trustworthy relationships. And so the ministry has expanded quite a bit from just a sack lunch to transitioning people, helping people connect with employers to get work. We are helping them get identification and insurance and to just stabilize them and transition them from the street to everyday living. We have also developed a street church where we're not only feeding them physically, but spiritually the Word of God. I've always just had a heart for those that need love and that need the truth. And I just know what it's like to not have the truth and want love. And so it is my heart's mission, and I believe the goal for God on my life is to extend that to people who may not have it.
I'm dirty too. I love that. I think that encapsulates everything that we should be saying when it comes to serving and when it comes to being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to anyone, no matter whom we are serving. To have that attitude and to have that mindset is a fantastic place to start. One of the things I love about that video, besides the fact that she was able to take her own life and say, "You know what, I'm no different, I'm dirty too," was the fact that they were just meeting a need. They were just out meeting physical needs. Every creature, every person has physical needs, some that we want met and some that we absolutely need to have met. On average, a person can go without food for a long time, without food. 1 to 2 months, you can go without food before you die. Did you realize that? If you do not have water, that number significantly drops. to just a few days, probably a week on average, if you do not have water. We all have needs that have to be met. Now, most of us are blessed enough to be in a situation where if we miss lunch after church, I know that's blasphemous. If we miss lunch after church, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But we all want lunch, and so we're going to eat after church. What happens when our physical needs meet circumstances? What is a circumstance? A circumstance is defined as a fact or condition connected with or relevant to an event or action. Okay, so a fact or condition that's connected to something else that we do. That's a circumstance. Circumstances are often out of our control, and if we're willing to admit more than often, circumstances are out of our hands. But we've been looking at, in this series, a God of all creation, Lord of heaven and earth, that has authority over everything. Let's look at our text this morning in Mark chapter 6. And again, we are in the Gospels, and again, we are going to find ourselves in a story that may be familiar. If it's not, I'm glad that you're here so it can get you can get familiarized with it. If you've never heard it, it's going to be like a breath of fresh air to you as we watch Jesus meet the needs of people. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. If you are willing and able, would you stand one more time for the reading of God's word as we begin in verse 30. It says, "The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all they had done and taught. And he said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while.' For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves." Verse 33, "The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it was already quite late, the disciples came to him and said, 'This place is desolate, and it's already quite late. Send them away so they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?' And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go look.' And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded all to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking upward to heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples to set before them. And he divided up the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 full baskets of the broken pieces and also of the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves." Father, thank you again for this morning. Father, again, as we look at words that are unlike any words on the shelf of any other book in all of history, God, we are desperate for your help as we look at words. God, not just any words. These are divine words that are set apart. And so, God, we want to treat them as that this morning. And, Father, would you teach us this morning through the help of the Holy Spirit? We love you and thank you again for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's start with verse 31. They came together and they had told Jesus everything, and he says to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." There's another need that we have to get met. Eventually, we will all hopefully go to sleep today. We will all rest tonight, hopefully. That is a need that has to be met. Our bodies are designed for that need to be met. We don't have to tell ourselves, go to sleep, even though sometimes as we're sitting there staring at the ceiling, we wish we could tell ourselves, go to sleep. Can anybody relate to that? Okay, good. Whenever we are sitting there, we just don't have to say, body go to sleep. Our bodies do that naturally because it is a need that has to be met. It must be met. And Jesus knew that the disciples needed rest. And so he asked for them to come with him to a secluded place and rest. Circumstances, though, dictated something different. The circumstance was that there were lots of people around. Lots and lots of people. The people saw them going and ran ahead of them. When was the last time that you ran ahead of somebody to see something or to be a part of something? I can't remember the last time I ran ahead of somebody, just for the record. I don't run ahead of people. I'll be there in a moment. But think about it. There's so many people, because people from surrounding cities, not just the immediate place that Jesus is in, but people from all over are running to the place where he's going to go. Running. My children run a lot, and I look at them and I'm envious that they run all the time. But think about that. I'm going to put on my shoes or my sandals, and I'm going to run in the heat and the dirt, and I'm going to get ahead of Jesus just so that I can be a part of what he's doing. Man, to have that kind of passion about it. To have that kind of passion to say, I know Jesus is going to be here. I know he's going to show up. Man, we could have just run to church today, couldn't we? I know he's going to be here. I know he's going to show up. I know he's going to do some great things. And so we get in our car and we run to church. There are people running ahead to get a front row seat. I want to go to verse 34. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd. And I want to stop right here because Jesus does something that is a complete Jesus thing to do. Remember several years ago when the wristbands were out? WWJD. What would Jesus do? Jesus does Jesus things. That's what Jesus would do. And Jesus does a Jesus thing in this moment because there's a lot of people and a lot of circumstances are piling up on the situation. And Jesus does a complete Jesus thing. In verse 34, he saw a large crowd and he does what? He felt compassion for them. Notice in our previous studies over the last few weeks, weather does not dictate to God what happens in the situation. He calms the storm. He dictates to the weather what is going to happen. Satan and the temptation of sin does not dictate to God what is going to happen in the situation. He controls the situation and sends Satan on his heels and says, "Depart from me." That is his power. Disease does not dictate to God what happens in a situation. The circumstance of disease does not control him. He tells the disease to be gone, and it is gone, and healing occurs. And then last week we saw sin has no power and authority over him and will not dictate to an almighty God what happens in a scenario or a situation. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." That's the power of the God that we serve, and today is no different. Today there's a large crowd, but he does something that only Jesus would do, and you and I wouldn't do this. We'd be worried about, where are all these people coming from? Where are they? Right now we'd be worried about, are they sick? Can we social distance them? I mean, really, today, if this were to happen today, we would have a whole different set of circumstances that we could add to this text about what would be on our minds. A large crowd. This story is recounted as well in Matthew chapter 14, and it reminds us that women and children were there, not just the 5,000 men. So this is probably a larger crowd than normal. Jesus is a big deal. He's got a large following. He's got a large group of followers that want to see him do work and miracles and just be Jesus. Probably 15 to 20,000 people are showing up on this hillside, on the grass. And Jesus does a complete Jesus thing. He says, "I have compassion on them." Think about this for just a moment. An infinite God that has infinite power and infinite authority also has infinite compassion. And that is the God that we want to serve, and that is the person in Jesus that we want to follow, and we want to be more like him. We might say, oh, I want a closer walk with him. Then I guarantee you, as we take on his attributes, our compassion too grows. He has compassion on them. Now we get to the basic needs. His basic needs are not getting met. Remember, he wanted the disciples to come away with him to a secluded place to rest. And now they can't do that because he's got a large crowd. And he has compassion on them. And they say, they're like a shepherd or a sheep without a shepherd. So I'm going to start sit down and I'm going to start teaching them. And I'm sure the disciples don't just go away. They come alongside him as well because, well, if our master's going to do that, then we're going to follow him. That's what we do. That's what the disciples do. And so now the circumstances are piling up again. There's a large crowd, and there's a large need. Look at verse 35. When it was quite late, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate, and it is already quite late." Send them away, they say. Send the people away, the disciples say, so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and the villages and buy themselves something to eat. That doesn't seem like such a bad request. The disciples say, there's a large crowd. We're not going to be able to serve them. We're not going to be able to take care of their immediate need of food. Send them away to the countryside so they can get some food. It's late here. It's already late and it's desolate. Now, I'm not going to say desolate, but it's late and all the restaurants in Jacksboro are shut down. And no, an Allsup's burrito does not count as a restaurant food, okay? It's late. There's no restaurants. Send them away, Jesus. Send them on their way so that they can get something to eat. Again, Jesus doing Jesus things. What does he say to them? You give them something to eat. There's no Lowe's. There's no Sonic. There's no grocery store. There's no Flat Top Grill and no Travis. Students, there's nothing to eat. What are they going to do? Look at verse 37 and 38. It says this. He answered to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii? Are we going to spend a half a year's wage to feed these 15 to 20,000 people? Are we going to do that?" I'm going to tell you a story about Farmer Dale and Farmer Bob. Farmer Dale, okay? Farmer Dale and Farmer Bob decided that they would enter into a friendly competition. They were neighbors. And so they decided that they would figure out which person, which farmer, could grow the most crop every year. So they'd had a friendly competition about who could grow the most product. Year after year after year went by, and Farmer Dale beat Farmer Bob. I guess his land was just more fertile. I don't know. He beat him year after year in the friendly competition. You know how it goes. Turned into a rivalry. And so Farmer Dale and Farmer Bob, still years later having this rivalry, Farmer Bob says, "I'm going to get the upper hand this year. We both have horses, okay? We have crops and we have horses, and so this year we're going to have," he asked Farmer Dale, he says, "can we have a horse race this year?" Farmer Dale says, "All right, let's have a horse race." And so Farmer Bob wanted to get the upper hand. And so Farmer Bob says this. He says, "I'm going to hire a professional jockey." And so Farmer Bob hires a professional jockey. He gets his best horse. Farmer Dale gets his best horse and finds somebody to ride it. And the day of the race comes. Whew. Farmer Bob says, "I'm going to get him this year. I'm going to win." And he says this. They start the race because Farmer Dale doesn't realize that that's a professional jockey. Right before the start goes off, right before they fire the starting pistol, he says, "Oh, by the way, I hired a professional jockey, Dale. Congratulations. Good luck today." ha, I'm going to win. They start the race. The horses tear off around the first turn, around the second turn, and somewhere in the middle of the race, the horse's feet get tangled up, and both horses fall. Both jockeys thrown from their horses. Farmer Dale and Farmer Bob at a distance are yelling, "Get up! Get up! Go!" Because this is fierce for them. This matters to them. The professional jockey is the first one to get up and mount a horse. The rider from Farmer Dale's horse gets up and gets on a horse, and they tear off. Go! Go! At the finish line, Farmer Bob's professional jockey is the first one to cross the finish line. He's ecstatic. I finally won. He jumps and he cheers and he just cries out, "Victory!" And after a few minutes, his cries of victory turn to cries of tears. He's devastated. He's sobbing. He's hunched over and he can't believe himself. Farmer Dale comes up and he says, "What is the problem? You finally bested me. Over the last several years, all I've done is beat you, and you finally won. Why are you crying?" And Farmer Bob points and he says, "My jockey got on the wrong horse." It matters that we keep our eyes on the right prize. I don't want you to get on the wrong horse this morning, and so I want to keep going with our scripture, because don't ever overlook this in verse 38 again. If you have a highlighter or a pencil or a pen, or prick your finger and bleed on it, it doesn't matter to me, but don't ever overlook this again. In verse 38, he says to them, "How many loaves do you have? Do you really think an infinite God, full of infinite wisdom and knowledge, needed to know from the disciples how many fish and how many loaves there were?" But he wanted his disciples to keep their eye on the right horse. He said, "Go look. Circle it, highlight it. Do whatever you got to do in your Bible to make sure that you don't ever overlook the phrase, 'go look.'" Because an infinite God full of infinite wisdom, through the person of Jesus Christ and all of his humanity, tells them, "How many loaves do you have? I want you to go see it for your own eyes." Why? Because when they were able to look with their own eyes and say, "We've only got this much bread and we've only got this much fish," then all of the glory gets put back where it belongs. And the power over the circumstances goes right back to where it belongs, and that's in God's hands. Because now they can look with their own eyes and say, "There's no possible way that we're going to be able to do this. And you've told us, as our master, that we are now responsible for getting them something to eat." And he tells them, "You go look with your own two eyes and put it back on the right horse, because I'm fixing to do something fantastic." "Go look," he says. And when they found out, they said, "We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, in the middle of our circumstances, it's critical that we keep our heads on straight, because sometimes our circumstances get so much that we don't know how we're going to bear it. And we've got to remember to keep our head on straight and put our eyes where they need to go. He said, "I want you to look at what we have. I want you to look at what we have, not the problem that's ahead of us." He says, "Go look." He wanted to make sure that they understood that without his help, that there was going to be no way out of this mess. There was going to be no way that it was going to be possible to meet the circumstance, the needs, the tired, the hungry, and there's not enough food. But remember, just like weather, just like sin, just like disease, they don't get to dictate to an almighty God of what he does. Hunger is no different. Circumstances are no different. They don't get to dictate what Jesus can and cannot do. Because he is 100% God and 100% man, he understands. Because he's 100% man, he understands that people are tired and hungry and need food. But because he's 100% God, he's about to do something about it. Tony Evans said this week on his Instagram feed, he said, "If all you see is what you see, and you do not see all there is to be seen. And so if you go back to horses, you got to sometimes take the blinders off. Because if all you see is right in front of you and all you see is the problem ahead of you, then you don't see all there is to be seen. Because Jesus says, I'm about to do something that nobody else can do. Because once we figure out what we have to work with, it's not a question of if God can do something about it. It's a question of if it is in His will to do something about it. And in this particular moment, it was in His will to meet the need of the large crowd. And so God took a little and He did a lot with it. He commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass, and they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and He looked to heaven, and He blessed it, and He began to break it. He took a little and turned it into a lot. What would it look like for you and I to say to God, all I have is a little, but I know You can turn it into a lot. All I have is a little bit of faith. All I have is a little bit of compassion. All I have is a little bit of love. All I have is a little bit of life. All I have is a little bit of peace. But all I have, I give to You freely so that You can turn it into something that's a lot. All I have is this much, but all You can make it into is infinite. Because You're 100% God and You can do something about it. You see, God is in the business of creating an abundance. So what little bit we have to give, what little bit of love we have, what little bit of service we have, what little bit of money we have, what little bit of peace and life and hope and everything else that we can give, fill in that blank with whatever you want. All I have is this much. God is in the business of creating an abundance. What a fantastic God that is. The disciples were tired and hungry and ready to sit down and eat and rest. Remember in the beginning of Mark chapter 6, Jesus sends them out. He had sent them out to do mission work. He had sent them out to cast out demons and do the work of the Father. And then where we pick up in verse 30, the apostles gathered together with Jesus and they reported to Him all they had done and taught. So they're back from their trip. They're ready to take a day off. They're tired and hungry too. And here they are serving thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Who do you think the 12 baskets were for? Servants. The disciples who were serving. The disciples who needed to rest and eat too. Jesus is in the business of creating an abundance so that there's always enough. So that no matter what you give Him of your time, of your love, of your energy, of your forgiveness, of your faithfulness, of your patience, of your understanding, no matter what it is you give to Him, He's going to create an abundance where there's always enough. What a fantastic God we serve. That no matter what the circumstance is, He's going to take what we have and He's going to multiply it and He's going to make it enough. There is nothing too big for Him. There is no circumstance that will control Him. He dictates to the circumstance, this is what's going to happen and this is why, because I'm God. Amen and amen. God is able to take all that we have and multiply it so that from this generation to the next generation and beyond, there's always enough. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You in the middle of our circumstances, no matter what it is, whether it's fear, whether it's a lack of faith, whether it's a lack of understanding, whether it's a lack of patience, whether it's a lack of kindness, or humility, or forgiveness, or whatever it is that we are in need of, whatever the circumstance says we need. God, I thank You that in our weakness, You have strength. And that there is no circumstance that You do not have control of. God, it's not a question of if You can do something about it. It's a question of if it's in Your will that You do something about it. So God, if it's in Your will to deliver some of us today out of our circumstances, then God, I pray that that might happen. I pray that you might, in your infinite abundance of power, that you might deliver someone today from their bondage. God, that you might show that you are truly God, because nobody else can do what you can do. God, help us to keep our eyes on the right task. Help us to be able to see that we don't need to worry so much about getting on the wrong horse, but help us to get on the right horse and say, this is what I've got. This is all I have, this is not what I don't have, God. This is all I have, and I give it to you freely so that you can turn it into abundance. Father, today, would you do that for each and every person in this room? Father, you know the needs. God, some of them are physical, some of them are spiritual, some of them are emotional. All of them carry with them circumstances. All of our needs have circumstances. But God, you are bigger and you are greater. And God, we love you and serve you for that. And we want to honor you. So this morning, God, I pray that as we offer up our prayers to you, that you might show that you are God. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand together and sing, I want to